Welcome back to another edition of Student Body Right, the complete college football podcast. As always, I'm your host, Nick Volinchak, better known as Nick from CWE, on all of your favorite daily fantasy sites. And we are here to talk college football. Now, it's 11:36 on the East Coast. I just watched what might have been the worst game of football I ever played. It's funny when people try to make excuses for why the game was good. Like, you don't have to force it, bro. It was just bad. Rodgers might have made some good throws, but that doesn't mean the game was good. Like, how could you possibly have watched that and walked away feeling good about yourself? I mean, there's going to be four college football games on tomorrow that will easily outdo the trash that we saw tonight. That's why I love college football, because don't know if you knew this, proven fact, better than the NFL. All right, where did we leave off? We left off talking about Cincinnati and Ohio State, so let's jump in, talk about UCF, USF, and Georgia Tech. This is an interesting game. I think I like a couple of guys here. Probably not going to do. So first things first, I think Tobias Oliver is going to be the starting quarterback still, for whatever reason. DraftKings decided to price him lower than the average price of starting quarterback. So he's $4,300. I don't think the UCF defense is that good at all. We just watched Jonathan Taylor absolutely steamroll them. This is a quarterback that wants to run, doesn't need to do much at $4,300. The problem is Georgia Tech likes to play these bullshit games. I think their coach thinks it's cool or it's funny to, like, assemble his depth chart listing by numbers of people who will play. Like, it's just trash, bro. Just come with it. You know you're garbage. You know your team's garbage. Just man up and release a depth chart. Same thing goes for guys like Mike Gundy. You know what I mean? If your strategy has to be, I'm not telling the other team what I'm going to do with my players. Your plays are a different story. But it's just trash. I mean, come on. Like, if a team releases a depth chart and said, this is what it is, we don't have to hide behind anything, I respect that. You know what I mean? That's that level of honesty that we're looking for out of people in this role. But it's people like Mike Gundy and these jerk-offs at Georgia Tech that force us into a position where we have to play a guessing game. And it's deeper than fantasy, right? Like, just have – how difficult is it for the NCAA to step in and look, be like, look, assholes, we already, you know, have our thumb down on everything else. So how about this? Mandatory injury reports and you release depth charts. Simple as that. I mean, people are betting on this stuff. You know people are betting on this stuff. Embrace it. It's too bad. You lose. You don't want betting on college sports? Oh, well, not going to work in your favor. Anyway – I'd take some shots on Oliver. If I could find confirmation that he was going to start, it's hard to ignore a guy at this price in your cash game lineups. I know that probably sounds silly when you look at the 6.2 points he accumulated last week, but it was against Clemson. What do you expect? You knew this was a game they were going to be playing from behind in. Georgia Tech isn't going to run the triple option off. Okay, maybe it might not, but this dude still tried to run the ball 20 times. So, yeah. If he runs it 20 times against USF, he's not going to put up Jonathan Taylor numbers, but he doesn't have to. He's priced at half of what he was. So, if he could turn out a 20-point game, and he very well could end up go over 100 yards, have a couple of touchdowns. He's at 28 fantasy points at $4,300. I mean, he's a guy I'm going to look at for sure. Blake Barnett, to me, has a little bit of an appeal. Obviously awful against Wisconsin. There was no way that was going to work out well. I'll have low exposure. the running back situation for USF is kind of tough too. We know that Johnny Ford is coming back, though he is slated to be a slot receiver this year. You know, I don't mind him. I don't mind Conkright. I don't mind Mason. That's probably the extent of where I'm going. And none of those guys will be very highly owned by me. Now, getting to the receivers here, I don't think I'm going to take any stabs at Georgia Tech. Definite pass for me. I like Randall St. Felix. I think the $4,700 price tag is pretty solid. Blake Barnett pushed the ball down the field, and a lot of these guys just couldn't hold on to the ball. I think that, you know, at $4,700, he's a high-ceiling fantasy option this week. I don't mind Mitchell Wilcox either. Next up, we have Texas A&M and Clemson, which is one of the marquee matchups on the slate. It's tough for fantasy purposes, I think. I don't know exactly what I want to do here. You know, Kellen Mond has some appeal to me. I don't know if Trevor Lawrence does or not. I really don't know. He looked bad. I mean, he didn't look good. He looked bad against Georgia Tech. He made some really stupid throws. Fortunately for him, he's got one of the best receiving cores in the country between Justin Ross and T. Higgins to kind of take some of the, you know, if he's not throwing the ball well, they can still get stuff done and make him look good. I do expect Clemson to be in the driver's seat, which would probably put me on ETN a little bit more. I was on ETN a lot last week when a lot of people weren't, because it's going to be a blowout and he's not going to be able to get his. And, you know, 205 yards and 3 touchdowns later, he got his. Imagine that, on 12 carries. So this profiles to be a situation that ETN should see an increase in involvement. The price is just super tough at 9,400. I think there are some options, obviously, underneath that, that are appealing. So it's very difficult to want to trust him this week. It's not even a trust thing. It's just that this is a tough matchup. I kind of favor the pass catchers. I'm probably not going to look at Jayshon Corbin. This isn't Texas State. This is a Clemson team that's still really good. At 7K, I can see more of an I can understand wanting to target that in tournaments. I'm going to be probably highest on T. Higgins out of this group. I think there's 4 receivers in play in this game. I think all the receivers from Jamon Osmond up are in play. I like all of them. I don't think you can go wrong in tournaments. I don't know how much I really want to spend here. I don't think you spend here in cash games, right? I think there's more volatility in these players in this game than with guys like Laviska Shenault, even though I don't think he looked that involved last week, and Rondale Moore. I think that they make these guys in this Clemson A&M game make better tournament plays. Probably my favorite game on the slate is Nebraska and Colorado. DraftKings has decided it made a ton of sense to just price all of these guys down. So I would expect, even though they were absolutely awful, and he accumulated 6.7, excuse me, fantasy points last week, I'd expect Adrian Martinez to be able to crank it up this week against, you know, Colorado. He's still got the upside of being the top fantasy asset on the slate and maybe in college football. I don't know. I don't think that he has a game-by-game upside. I do think guys like Hurts have just more overall upside. But there's going to be games, I think, where Martinez can smash, and I think this is one of them. I don't mind Montez. Colorado really looks like it's willing to run. Alex Fontenot had a pretty big game, you know, at 4,900 last week, 125 and 3 touchdowns. I suspect that they'll still try to feed him. Nebraska, to me, Maurice Washington, you know, he sat out the first half of the opener. The team really didn't get going, but he looked better than Dedrick Mills. He's 3,700 on DraftKings for a team that I think is going to score a fair amount. I think he's cash game tournament viable. And then you get to the receivers, and the two that obviously jump out to me are Laviska Shenault and, you know, J.D. Spielman. Shenault at 8K. Look, 3 for 48 and a touchdown, and he really didn't have that much thrown to him. I mean, you know, it's somewhat nerve-wracking, right? Because I think there's a clear path for me to be able to play both Shenault and Rondale Moore in cash games, both of whom I do believe have 40-point upside in this specific situation. But, you know, if Nebraska, God forbid, they stumble out of the gate here, Shenault's not going to be at a ceiling game. He's going to be at a floor game, which is probably what we saw this week at like 17 points, and that's killer at 8K. J.D. Spielman, 4,700, a guy who's also returning punts and can kind of get you some of those extra points, as he house-called a punt last weekend that helped him get to where he was at. And then everyone else is just kind of like, you know, tournament plays. Katie Nixon, Robinson, Bisharat, a number of these guys, Jack Stoll. They're all just punt options to me, but I really like this game. But I'm kind of sticking to the core of Shenault. I don't mind Montez. If this turns into a shootout and they have to kind of abandon the running game, you know, the game stack of Martinez, Montez, Shenault, Spielman, Washington, it still leaves you a lot of flexibility. So I don't mind that. And a $10, you know, in the big tournament this weekend, that'll be one of the cores I run. Illinois against UConn. This is definitely an interesting situation. I really don't know what side I want to take. Connecticut's—they're atrocious. They're always going to be atrocious. You know, Brandon Peters had a really big game against Akron the first week of the season. I would rather play the running backs, to be completely honest with you, especially since Mike Epstein is out. And now it looks like we're going to be able to see a whole lot of Reggie Corbin, who had a pretty nice year last year. 4,400, he is, as long as we know he's playing, he should be. You know, I could see this being a situation where this guy carries the ball 15 times for 150 yards and two or three touchdowns. You know, I think the talent's there, the matchup's there, which is the biggest thing. So I'll take some shots there. And then I don't really know what to make of the Illinois wide receivers at this point to make, you know, smart bets with them. I think this is a game Illinois should handle. And if that's the case, I just want to get the running back in there in my cash games, you know, hope that he gets 16 to 25 touches and does what I think he could do with them. Moving on from there, the last game on the morning early slate is San Diego State against UCLA. Both teams are going to have quarterbacks I don't really think are going to be playable here. If you want to play Ryan Agnew, by all means, go hard with it. I'm not doing it. Joshua Kelly, he appeared to practice fully. You know, hopefully that means he plays. Now, this isn't a great matchup, but, you know, UCLA is still cut above San Diego State. On the other side of the game, Juwan Washington banged up, looking like he's not going to play. Chase Jasmine didn't play. He's got a high ankle sprain. It could be the Chance Bell show. And if it is, at $3,200 against a UCLA defense that I really don't think is that great, I think it was the Cincinnati offensive line last week that was really struggling. I'm going to take a bunch of shots. I mean, $3,200, you know, for a team that we know wants to run the football, is, you know, pretty significant. I'm 100% willing to take some shots. Again, do I think this guy is a cash game play? I think that when I've built my cash game lineups, I didn't have to go down there to get the build that I wanted. So that probably means I won't go there. But I get it. If you really have something you like, if you think Travis Etienne is a must, you know, the Chance Bell, if he gets a start, is someone who could provide you with that upside. At the wide receiver position, I just don't think that there's much that I'm really seeing out of San Diego State that I want to play. Theo Howard should be back. I think they released a depth chart, and he is he's still the backup. So I don't know what that means. I don't know if that means that we're going to see what we saw last time and he just doesn't see the field much, or at all, rather. Demetric Felton is now listed behind Joshua Kelly. So there's that. I don't think that he's in play. I don't think he's in play, in my opinion. I don't think he's in play. That's pretty much it. So from my take, the two games I'm really heavily focused on, Nebraska, Colorado, Vanderbilt, Purdue. I think there's, some reason to look toward Michigan, potentially West Virginia, even though they look bad, Ohio State, 4,300 for Tobias Oliver if he does get the start again for Georgia Tech. UCF, USF has some cheap guys, Illinois running game, and perhaps chance Bell if Juwan Washington misses and Chase Jasmine does as well. So that pretty much wraps up the early slate between today and yesterday. Let's move on to the night slate. And I got to be honest right now, the night slate definitely looks just as bad as it did last week. I'm not a huge fan of anything I see here. A multitude of players just in situations that are untrustworthy. Just kind of as an overview, when you're scrolling through the quarterbacks here, you're looking at Sam Ehlinger, which, hey, look, I mean, he's in a tough matchup, and he's $9,200. That's a really tough spot to want to go after. I think he will struggle enough, but he could still get there. So I think I'm fine with playing him in tournaments. I think that makes sense. In cash games, I'm probably going to go with Joe Burrow. I think LSU is, willing to throw. I think that they're willing to use a five running back rotation, as crazy as it sounds. So you're not going to find the consistency you really want to have there. So why not just, play the guy who looks like he's poised for the highest upside. Bo Nix at 7,800 against Tulane, I mean, in theory, it makes sense, right? But it just as easily could turn into the Jarvis Withlow show. I mean, he carried the ball 24 times. It was very good to see Auburn give him that. Last year, it always seemed like he was coming off the field for Cam Martin or Shivers or any other running back that they could find past, present, or future and throw onto the field. So carries is a big deal. Like, if you can get that volume, that definitely propels you up my interest list. And the price, $6,400, that's really good. So let's just jump in game by game. We have BYU and Tennessee, which just really does sound absolutely disgusting. Your guess is as good as mine as to what Tennessee looks like after the humiliating defeat last week against Georgia State. But at 5,900 in a reasonable matchup, I think the pace of play is going to be slow. But, Jared Guaritano he's 5,900. He doesn't, I don't know. What does he have to do? Get 25? I think it's possible. It's not my favorite guy. I don't want to go like overload on him, but there's some upside there. Zach Wilson at 6,700. I mean, he has some wheels. So there's some potential upside there. I think really I'd be looking at, Ty Chandler is a guy I think you could possibly consider. Especially if Tim Jordan misses, I do think that Jeremy Banks will still be involved in the situation, but I think you could see more Chandler. 6,400. It's a little more than I guess I want to spend, but I think there's a potential there. Tyson Williams is a guy I would certainly have a lot of interest in here. This is an SEC caliber running back. I don't think Tennessee is a very good defense. I mean, we saw what Georgia State did to them. We saw the coach after the game say that he really did that. He thinks one of the biggest areas he messed up on was not giving Williams more carries, averaged almost 6.5 yards a carry. Granted, that's going to be, you know, that's an efficiency thing. When you're getting that few, it's a lot easier to than if you get 20 carries. I don't think I'd really be looking at any of the BYU receivers. I think you can look at any of the top three, Juwan Jennings, Wood Anderson, or Marquez Callaway, as being possible punt options. I think Jennings is reasonably safe enough to be like in cash game consideration. I think he's going to be the target, and he might even be a little bit underpriced. But not much there cracking my interest. Next up, we have UCF and FAU. You know, Wimbush seems underpriced, but I think that they're content with letting McCray and Adrian Killens just kill him with the run game. I think you can still take some pieces of the offense elsewhere without Wimbush, and that's probably what I'll look to do. Chris, you know, I think I'll probably pass on FAU's quarterback. You know, it's really tough to look at McCray and Killens and know exactly what's going to fall into place. They both saw a somewhat equal workload. Killens had a little bit more. He had a bigger game. Otis Anderson is still involved. So you've really got three running backs here that you can consider on a week-in, week-out basis, which makes it extremely, extremely tough to, you know, figure out. On the FAU side of things, B.J. Emmons, you know, Alabama transfer, there was a decent hype on him coming into the season, broke his ankle. He's not going to be carrying the football. So we have Larry McCameron, the third, I think that's his name, 5,100. Probably not the worst, but probably not the best option either. Moving over to the wide receiver position, I think you could continue to look at Gabriel Davis. He's going to be the guy. 6,300 makes him a great cash game play. Harrison Bryant for FAU at 5,400. I think he's a guy you can definitely look at as well. Everyone else, you know, Trey Nixon, he's got some deep shot upside, so I don't hate playing him here. That's probably where I'm going to end that. Arkansas at Ole Miss. Boy, did that Ole Miss team look absolutely dreadful. Talk about what was probably the most disappointing scenario in all of college football last week, and we're going to talk about that Ole Miss-Memphis game that scored like a combined 25 points, probably a good 40 to 50 points under where I really thought it would. So nobody made value. Kenneth Gainwell did because he was dirt cheap. Now we have Ole Miss take on Arkansas, and Arkansas is certainly at the bottom end of the SEC pecking order. So it's a decent bounce back spot for Matt Corral, but the problem is his price didn't come down enough to really make him like super appetizing. I do think I'm willing to take some pieces of Scotty Phillips. I think that, you know, he looked horrible. He got, you know, most of his fantasy value, half of his fantasy value came from the fact that he scored a touchdown. But the fact that he had 19 carries in a game like that gives me some hope that if he gets in a game like this, we could see 25 or 30 carries. And at 6,600, you know, again, I'm going to keep saying things like on a slate like this. On a slate like this, I'll take 6,600 for a guy that might be able to score me 30 fantasy points. I like Rakeem Boyd. He's got a lot of upside because he contributes all across the board. You know, did not look like the Ole Miss running defense was that good. The rushing defense was that good. So I think he's a guy that's in play. You know, Braylon Sanders right now questionable for this game this weekend. Elijah Moore is 6,700, and that's pretty pricey in my opinion for a guy who just completely crashed and burned, but it is what it is. Cheyenne O'Grady coming back, I think he's a guy you could target. He's a big touchdown threat. decent receiving option. All right, next up, Tulane and Auburn. I'm not going to give much respect to the Tulane side of the ball. I do think Justin McMillan is a good enough quarterback and LSU transfer, so there is some talent there. But at the end of the day, I think this team will be overmatched, so I'm going to kind of back off there. Bo Nix is in an interesting spot because this should be an easier game for him than Oregon. He's at home, and, you know, this is I think this is a comfort spot where he can get into a role. I just don't know, like I said, when I kind of talked about this slate overall, this could be a really good spot to get the running game situated. And I could see, I could certainly see a situation where it's more focused on a Jartavius Withlow. So he's going to be a guy I really like. I'm probably out on the Tulane guys. Maybe I'll take some shots on Darnell Mooney. I don't mind taking some shots on Seth Williams or Eli Stove either, but that's probably where I'm going to end that. Moving right along, we go to one of the other marquee games of the night, and that's LSU at the University of Texas. And we kind of buried the lead a little bit. We talked about Sam Ehlinger and this being a difficult matchup for him, and it is. But he carries probably the most upside on the slate at the quarterback position. I mean, we saw in games last year, and typically they were games where you expected it to happen, like against Oklahoma, against Baylor, things like that, where he just put up these smash games. But it could happen here. If he needs to get things done with his legs to extend the play, he's going to do it. So I don't hate it in tournaments. I just don't think it has to be done in cash games, right? The price is extremely high. There's no guarantee that this game, you know, this isn't the team they played last week, right? This isn't, you know, Louisiana Tech, no offense to them. And even then, and granted it was in, you know, junk time, but Jamar Smith still put up a bunch of points on them. Bunch of yardage, maybe not a bunch of points. They did okay, though. This LSU team should be able to handle things. I think as the days are going on, I'm just talking myself into Joe Burrow as my cash game quarterback and hope the game stays relatively close so that he continues to throw the ball and maybe what we saw last week becomes, you know, even better and he goes for 350 and six touchdowns or 350 and gets one in on the ground and really has like a home run game. I don't think 5,900 is the worst price for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He's definitely the first look in the backfield. I do think they're content in, you know, allowing this to be a multiple person system. Keontae Ingram has more renewed upside right now because Jordan Whittington is injured and he's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. So it's Roschon Johnson behind him. I think there's somewhat of a drop in talent there. I think this is a game that they'll have to get Keontae Ingram involved. 6,900 is not the worst price. I think you could do a lot worse, but this LSU defense, though. But again, in tournaments, I'm going to take some stabs at it. The LSU receiving unit is going to be a tough one. I don't think you want to really go after any of these guys in cash games. I think you could go after Jefferson in tournaments, Chase in tournaments, Marshall in tournaments. I think those are all guys you could look at. I think Brennan Eagles at 4,700 is a pretty interesting play. Yeah, a lot of what he did last week was fully dependent on touchdowns, and that's never a thing you want to see, but it's great to see that they're willing to go to him. I think between he, Duvernay, and Johnson, those are the only three guys you're looking at. Assuming that this game is going to be played with Texas coming from behind, I think it sets up well for any of three of those guys. But I probably still prefer them in my tournaments as opposed to cash games. Moving on, we've got Nevada and Oregon, and this is absolutely a cakewalk for Oregon. There's no question about it. This is not trying to be disrespectful to this Nevada team. It's just facts. But what does that mean for Justin Herbert? Well, To me, it means that we don't play him. There was like one game last year where Justin Herbert was a fantasy asset, and it was at the beginning of the year. It might have been against Portland State. I do not recall. But other than that, most of what he put together was in the low 20s. And I'm not paying $7,500 for a guy who could put together a score of mid-20s as a ceiling. Sorry, I'm just not into it. Carson Strong is somewhat interesting, but Purdue is an entirely different team than Oregon. This Oregon team looked pretty solid defensively. I think it was an Auburn team that is still trying to figure some things out, but it looked good. I fully expect the running game to dominate here. I think C.J. Verdell is a great starting point. I don't love the fact that he's not going to be the only guy touching the ball. It's clear that Travis Dye is going to be involved, which always sucks. You know, I don't love seeing that. But it is what it is. We saw Darian Felix involved a little bit. But something tells me this is a game that Verdell really eats. You know, he got quite a few more carries than Dye, even though Dye, part of the reason is Dye went out of the game for a brief period of time. 7,700 admittedly does feel a little bit much to pay, but you have to consider what we're looking at here in a situation where this should be a game that should be in their hands pretty readily. A lot of this is going to come down to Juwan Johnson again. He remains day-to-day, didn't play last week, cost me more money as I made a lot as it was on this night slate last week, but he cost me more money because I didn't catch the fact that he wasn't in uniform. That's my bad thing. But there's still a lot of value with the Oregon receiving core. I think Jalen Redd is in play. Johnson III is in play. I think either of those guys are people that I would look at, and they're cheap, like $5,500. 4,500. Like, I don't mind playing any of those guys in cash games, even, especially if we know if Juwan Johnson sits. You know, Johnny Johnson at 4,500, are you kidding me? Like, he didn't even score a touchdown. He had 7 catches for 98 yards. He could do a lot more than that here. I could totally see a situation where he goes 5 catches for a buck in the touchdown, and at 4,500, that's a smash. I wouldn't discount some of these Nevada receivers, Caleb Fossum, Elijah Cooks. Those would be my two that I would really look at. A little bit shocking that Brandon O'Leary Orange was behind on the depth chart. But, yeah, Elijah Cooks, 5,200, had a monster game. Caleb Fossum, I think, is probably the main guy. You know, this team's going to be trailing. If it gets up too big, you know, you might see some of Oregon's second defensive unit that kind of eases things up for this Nevada team. So I don't mind that play at all. Western Michigan at Michigan State, man, you know, Michigan State had what many would call a layup matchup against Tulsa last week, and they just looked abysmal. I'm not looking at Brian Lewerke. That's a joke. Kind of want to play John Wasink. You know, this Western Michigan team was a big story with P.J. Fleck at the helm a couple years ago, Corey Davis, Daniel Braverman, Zach Terrell. 5,300, it'll trail. I do think the Michigan State defense is better. So that's kind of the thing that's keeping me from doing it. But he's on the outside of my list of considerations. I don't know what to say about Michigan State. You know, Connor Haywood, less than 3 yards a carry against Tulsa. I want to say that it is the exception and not the rule, right? I don't think this is going to be what he is. But, man, at 7,400, it makes it real tough to want to trust him. His involvement in the passing game makes me feel a little bit better, but overall it's something I'm not wild about. And the receiving situation they feel overpriced for what they did. But this isn't actually a better matchup, I don't think. I think Tulsa should be a better matchup than Western Michigan. But I think there's still talent there with Cody White, Then it would be Daryl Stewart Jr., and then it would be Jalen Naylor for me. Those would be the guys I was looking at. On the Western Michigan side of things, okay, maybe I guess Giovanni Ricci is a possibility. Deshaun Bustle would be another guy, but I'm not wild about them. This slate, like I said, it's I haven't really encountered anyone where I'm really like, all right, yeah, let's do this thing. Final game on the slate, Miami and UNC. Freshman Sam Howell looked okay last weekend against South Carolina. I think this Miami defense is markedly better than that. So that scares me considerably. I think it's an okay matchup for Jaren Williams, but I'm not going to go there much. I think really where I'm going to focus my efforts are going to be with DJ Dallas at 6,600. He's a bit of a discount to some of these other guys in a very, 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 very good matchup against a UNC defense that we know is absolute trash garbage against the run. You know, I'm going to bet on him to get about 15 carries. He only had 11 in the game against Florida. I think he's going to get about 15 carries here. I'm going to put his total at like 150 yards and then maybe another 5 for 50 receiving. I think he's going to take two in. He's probably my top play on the slate in terms of my comfort in playing them. I really still do like Javonta Williams quite a bit here. I've rushed 18 times for 102 yards. In my opinion, he's the better of the running backs that we are going to see from UNC. But the problem is they want to play running backs. They want to play three running backs. So, you know, when he was 4,500 last week, it was a much more enticing buy-in. And with this being a more difficult matchup against Miami, I don't love the idea of going to the well with him. But I can see understanding playing him in some tournaments. Wide receiver position, you know, Daz Newsome, Dyami Brown. Those are two guys I would consider. I don't know if I want to pay Daz Newsome's price. I really do think highly of this Miami defense. With that being the case, I just don't want to test it too much, but I will, on the flip side, take a look at someone like Jeff Thomas, who had some opportunities in the first game. Things didn't go their way. He's 5,500 against a questionable defense. I don't mind taking some shots there, and we saw Brevin Jordan and his involvement, and this is a game where I think you want to go back there and see what they've really got in him. He's one of my favorite plays. So all things considered, like, there's nothing. The receiver position is just really, 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 really scary to me. I mean, I'm probably – the receiver position scary to me. The quarterback position is somewhat scary to me. The running back position is – scary from the capacity of I don't know where we are going to get the touches at for sure. It may be a situation where I actually play four running backs in cash games this week. I think you could look at Verdell, potentially Hayward, potentially McCray, potentially Ingram, knowing he should have to be involved. Phillips, we didn't talk about Tua Tua, but this is not Purdue, so I'm not expecting a guy who gets 8 receptions and 64 yards here. I don't think that's – I think that's the exception and not the rule. DJ Dallas is a lock for me. Whitlow is close to a lock. You've got Chandler. You can consider Rakeem Boyd. So just in all of those names, Adrian Killens feels pretty mispriced at 5,600 if he's going to get another 15 carries against FAU, although they looked pretty stout in shutting down J.K. Dobbins. At the end of the day, he still had like 91 rushing yards on 12 rushes. It's not the worst thing. And I could be misreading that. Maybe it was closer to like 18 for 91 or something like that. But all that being said, you know, there's way more when you start going through quarterbacks. It's like Burrow, maybe Nix. Maybe Wimbush. Like, are you going to bet on the fact that Wimbush, you know, does more? This game, in theory, should be closer. Maybe he gets, you know, 250 yards and three touchdowns, and that at the price, you know, he's playable. But are you looking at Ben Hicks? We didn't talk about him. He's the SMU transfer. He knows this offensive scheme because the coach, you know, Chad Morris, I believe, was at SMU with Hicks. You know, do we say the Portland State game was an anomaly and Ben Hicks is better than that, and we are not buying into Ole Miss defense? We think it was just two bad offenses at the beginning of the season. Are we looking at Justin McMillan? Are we looking at Jared Guartano? Are we looking at Strong? You know, are we looking at John Wasnick at 5,300 and saying, for fuck's sake, we don't have anyone else to go to? You know, maybe Michigan State's defense. So, like I'm saying, I think I'm just taking Burrow. I'm going to stack four running backs. Depending where I go, like if there's – I might just try to shove in Justin Jefferson, who I think will be, you know – I think we could see, if the game's close, I think we could see a ceiling game out of him. Whereas, you know, some of these other guys like Colin Johnson, I just think that ball actually gets spread around more this year. Elijah Moore, you know, for all we know, that Ole Miss offense falls on its face. There's way too many question marks for me to really trust anyone else at the high end of the run wide receiver position. So it's just all going to depend. It should be a fun week. I do like when there are challenges like this in having to decide how you're going to build your lineup. So in regards to the late night slate, I'm going to try to post an article on Student Body Right that I will drop to Twitter, but you can find us on there at Student Body Right. You can find us online at studentbodyright.com. You can find me on Twitter at Nick from CWE. We'll see you again next week.